Welcome to The Horse, a show hosted by longtime UConners Dan Bushnell and Jenny Hamilton. On this show, we talk to a diverse collection of people about living in the Yukon, what brought them here, why they stay or have left, but mostly, we like to talk about what truly makes them tick. So sit back, relax, turn up the volume, and enjoy the show coming to you from the Yukon's capital, Whitehorse, or as it's known to the locals, The Horse.
Hello.
Hello, Dan.
Now, you were telling me a story.
Yes, it was True Confessions of Jenny Hamilton. Okay.
Great director,
Clinton Walker. He used to come up quite a bit. He's from Toronto. Brilliant. Lovely. I love working with him. He was directing a show. Moira Sauer was in it. Mary Sloan was in
it.
What
was the show called?
The Beauty Queen of Lenan by Martin Dunna. Brilliant, brilliant piece. Anyways, Clinton had this, you know, it was a small cast. He wanted the cast to get closer together. It was a pretty intimate show. There were some love scenes. There was also a lot of anger in the show. As you know, get in touch with each other. So he would do, you know, yoga warm-ups. And then once we were talking about music. And another time we had to speak of our emotions and draw them out.
And what was your part in the show?
I was the stage manager.
Okay.
Yeah. So I figured I was not going to have to be a part of any of it. Clinton being the way he is we're a team. He'll take your input and you've got to put the work in. So I thought, yeah, if I want the crew to put the work in, I got to be a part of. So I was a part of it all. Not really good at yoga, not really good at drawing, know a little bit about music.
So what happened with this rocking chair situation?
Oh, okay. So, well, in the set, they wanted, Mary Sloan was playing the mother.
Right.
And she was an older woman. I don't know if it was the pictures of the daughters from when she was a kid, but on the set, they wanted some, you know, hand-drawn pictures by children. So they got me to do it, which was really hurtful.
So instead of asking children.
Well, yeah, because I think during the whole process a couple weeks prior, they went, oh, well, let's just use these. And I was like, that is my emotion. I draw like I'm 6 years old. And
so you're getting some deep feelings out.
I was.
Art therapy style.
Art therapy side.
And they're like, these are so innocent and childlike.
Would you mind if we put them on the set? Which was brilliant, you know, placate. And I'm just like, yeah, because you don't want to offend children.
Yeah, well, you know, I find it funny that they're just like, we need someone who's childlike.
Who could draw as childlike, at least.
Who draws like a small child.
Like a six-year-old who's missing three fingers is what I draw like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when I brought in that, you know, my concept for the tattoo and you wouldn't quit laughing?
In that play was Moira Sauer.
Yes.
Moira Sauer is a lovely addition to any community.
We're yes.
really lucky to have her in the Yukon.
Absolutely. She's just vibrant and wonderful.
I'm going to call Moira because, honestly, I can't talk smack about people without them on the phone.
Well, it's no fun unless they can answer.
Yeah. Plus, I'll feel less dirty.
I'll feel more dirty.
You know what? This is working for us both. That's Moira's phone ringing.
Right, she knows, doesn't she?
She's not going to answer.
No, she's like, oh.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Hi, Jenny!
How are you, Moira?
Well, better now. This is so, it's so amazing that to hear someone's voice in your ear, old-fashioned telephone-wise, can actually bring this much joy, especially because I gaze upon you all the time on Instagram, but it's just not the same.
Oh, wow. I'm glad I have this recorded because not many people would express it that way.
Everyone's gazing upon you all the time, Jenny. Trust me.
Well, we are in a pandemic and times are tough.
You got to get what you can take.
Absolutely. I'll brush my hair more. Now I won't.
No, you don't.
Where are you guys right now? Where are you?
We're in my garage.
Oh my gosh.
That's our as now I'm going to start calling it the studio.
The studio. You can hear traffic passing.
Yeah, it's great.
Because we're still...
You're gonna soundproof that studio a little bit?
No, never. We're social distancing.
Oh.
So we have the garage door open so we can be away from each other.
Right.
You guys are so good.
Jenny was talking about working with you.
Yes.
And Colin Walker.
Clinton Walker.
Same guy.
Same guy. It's his evil brother.
What did I say?
Walker. So listen, you guys, Clinton, I feel like the last project that we did with him.
Yes.
Was the last one at the Guild was
Good People. Yes.
Boston Marriage I did, but Good People was the one with Clinton.
Yes.
And I did that play after having a child.
Yes.
And discovered that is what one person should never, ever do, is do a play after you've had a child.
Right.
It's all encompassing, I think. And I was working full time, which was crazy. So you live, you know, I think everyone has some place that's their home away from home. And anyone who's worked at the Guild, or maybe I should say anyone who's done any theater, knows that it becomes your home away from home. The Art Center was that for so long. And the Guild, it's like your living room is the lobby.
Yes.
Your kitchen is the kitchen.
Yes.
The bathroom in the green room is your bathroom, which is disgusting.
Yes.
But it still is yours.
Yeah.
and then the OR is just kind of your local hang, but it's not very comfortable because it's always too cold.
What's the OR?
The other room of the Guild. So not the theater side, the other side.
Other room, Dan. Other room. It's very creative in the Guild.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
The OR. The other room.
Oh my God. I thought I was learning some inside theater business right there.
Not at all.
I thought I was about to get some cool information.
Okay. Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. No.
Okay.
No.
Yes. Well, the OR at least now is
car
one.
At all.
Yeah, that's the gallery space.
It is. And they got it insulated properly and it's now warm. So that was good.
Oh, is it? See, that goes to show how long it's been since.
Yes.
It was always warm when you guys were in there.
Right.
Because Jenny always makes it hot.
Yeah, because I'm full of hot air.
It's like, don't you get started, Moira, because Jenny and I were talking about how hot you are. So no, we were just talking about that you're one of those people that, despite people not calling you back, I think is really difficult not to like and feel engaged by.
Absolutely. I miss working with you.
Yeah, you ask good questions. You make everybody feel like they're important, and it means a lot.
The feeling's very mutual.
I always like having another 5-year-old.
Jenny, you know that. I mean, when I had my theater company with Celia, you were essentially our third man in charge, because I don't think there was a play we did without you as our stage manager or production person.
There was only one. But it was Matt and Ben. It was your first one. And I was like, oh, I'm working with these two.
Oh. Well, and we had to prove ourselves before you were willing to step on board.
No. I only had to see it once.
I played Matt Damon, and Celia McBride played Ben Affleck. And Arts Underground, which was a space that had just opened up. It had not existed before.
It was great.
This long, narrow, weird room.
Yes.
We were essentially spitting on the audience the entire time.
I liked it so much. I was like, make me a part of the team.
I like the idea that Jenny had to vet you.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah, I do too. Well, listen, Jenny's, you know, she's the golden nugget in this town.
Oh, you don't want to tell me.
And I feel like it was during those years that she quietly grew her, I don't want to say confidence, because she's always been confident. She grew something in the background, and then the next thing you know, she took the stage herself, and then it was game over. You know, it was like, what? She's not supposed to be pushing buttons behind the stage. She's supposed to be in the spotlight.
Oh, that is very kind of you.
And then we couldn't hire her all the time, right? Because she was busy touring Canada with shows. We're like, damn it.
I was going to do comedy
once.
Surprise! Yes.
I think there was a period of time where they made such a great effort to bring in directors from outside.
Oh, it was the lifeblood.
And then you have this one key player who is not only driving the machine, but coaching along the way. So everybody's learning from the director. You know, the designers that are involved are learning something. The actors are, of course, learning something. But then all the, you know, the
crew is,
the technicians and things are learning things as well from them without having to leave town. It's interesting, too, because over the years, specifically with Jenny, we've played different roles as far as within a production. At various times, Jenny and I would be bouncing around as a producer, as a stage manager, as a director, as an actor, as a performer, as a technician. And all of them have their certain place and their certain role. And so and on any given day, we'd be like, who's the boss? Jenny, are you telling me what to do or am I telling you what to do? And to be totally okay with that shifting.
Absolutely. And to collaborate.
I will take my marching orders from Jenny any day, and I'm happy to. But also, I'm equally okay bossing her around.
You know what?
And I like it.
Jenny has always been good at role play.
Yes.
Yes.
This is Jenny's confession.
Yeah. I like that. I like that you guys were so flexible with each other in that
right?
way.
Flexible. That's why we did yoga.
Right, yoga, yes. Right? That's why we're supposed to stretch every day. I never understood. Why are we doing these silly exercises? I just need a cigarette and a shot of whiskey and I'm good to go.
Exactly.
Oh, no, it's the flexibility.
And, I mean, we're not spring chickens anymore.
No.
If you want to be able to put your socks on without making a sound, you better get on that stretcher.
Yes, that was not in the scene last time.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Jenny, I'm curious what brought the guild up in the first place, because you're not actually working there anymore.
Oh, no.
Are you?
No, I do some contract work with them occasionally. But okay. Nothing official.
You know what it is we were had just recorded a podcast, and then Jenny was telling me a story that I thought was really funny about Cornelius Walker.
Yes.
Saying,
Walker, saying
we need someone that can do drawings that look like they were done by a small child. Hey, Jenny, can you draw this? And I thought that was hilarious.
Well, he definitely has a fine sense of humor.
Well, he did it very gently, and because he had seen my artwork, my drawings, and went, yeah, these will work.
Yeah,
it looks like a disturbed child drew these.
He was a gem of a guy who found his way back here numerous times, and he was one of those, the way I mentioned before, they used to bring in directors throughout the season. Clinton was one who was on repeat all the time.
Well, he was
because he just had such a knack for engaging this particular community. Like, he really found his little place in Whitehorse, and he was so good at drawing in a crowd of people or a team to put on a show. He was so great to work with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, lots of people say that Conrad Walters was great to work with.
Oh, you're going to meet him one day.
One day.
I've decided to not remember his name.
He was so great to work with, but he was also just so good. He was a really, really great director. And I'm trying to, I think I worked on three projects with him, maybe. And all of them were also plays that just turned my crank so hard. That last one that I mentioned before, which was the last play I did, was the, why do I keep forgetting what
Good
it's called?
People.
Good People. Good People. I think I'm blanking it because it was also just a grueling affair. It was perhaps one of the most challenging.
It was well done, though. Very well done.
It didn't feel that way to me, Jenny. As someone who, walking on stage on opening night, was not confident she was going to get to the end. And I've never felt that before.
Right.
in any production I've done. I've always, by opening night, I'm like, well, things can go wrong, but I know my role well enough that I can juggle whatever gets tossed to me, and I never felt that solid
right.
with good people.
Okay. I didn't notice.
I also wasn't sure about my Boston accent. That's a hard one.
Yeah, it is. It very much is.
Every accent I do comes out half Irish and half Jamaican, so, you know.
It's practically Boston.
Yeah, they all end up the exact same way. However I start off, it always ends up like, are you doing Irish or Jamaican right now? Either way, it feels racist.
Right. Yeah. So you know? Please stop.
Well, the other one with Clinton was, and that's the other thing. I feel like he always picks plays where I end up having to do an accent. And we did the Irish one.
Yeah, where I did the art and you did the accent. The beauty queen, Lynanne.
The beauty queen of Lynanne. That was the one, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, no one's ever asked me to be a beauty queen.
Beauty queen.
It's because we're not allowed to hold events right now.
But he also casts me in roles where the woman is just kind of haggard. There's no glamour to any of them. I never get to have my hair done or makeup on or, you know, sometimes I think you think of the theater and it's like, ooh, I'm going to wear a corset and a gown and fancy feathers, and all I ever get are too tight jeans that give me a camel toe and some nasty sweater. You know?
So what you're saying is, are you claiming typecasting?
I don't know. It does concern me a little bit on what my day-to-day wear is. Like, did he just catch a glimpse of me and go, whoa, right? She looks rough. She'd be perfect.
To be fair, he didn't get to pick the shows.
And personally, I like to just call that your charm.
Right?
Dan, what you're saying is you have witnessed me in a camel toe suit.
Well, I don't want to talk out of school, but I mean, if you think the fact that you've had two children later in life makes you less attractive, you don't know what I find attractive.
Okay, touche.
Because let me tell you, haggard, run down, and looks like you've done some living.
That's awesome.
I'm all over it. I personally think you need to have another. We got to get you.
We
got to get you real salted up.
Another play or another child?
Hey, both.
Oh yes,
both are stressful.
Yeah, but plays are only about 2-3 months.
Yeah, but they still add crow's feet.
It's true. That's why I have some. Oh, yeah.
You know what? Like the pair of you jerks, I can't even get on stage.
You can. I can get you on a stage.
Yeah, and you'll watch me, like, shudder and stutter and cry and maybe
pee. I disagree. No, I don't think that would happen. I think you'd actually quite thrive up there, Dan.
I think you would, too.
You respond to people
too well to not.
All you need to do. All it would be is a bit of a glorified studio. And I'm thinking of your tattoo parlor. It's like, it's your tattoo parlor.
But with better lighting.
It just extends beyond where you're sitting doing your art.
I'm really good with about three people.
Well, that's all you can see from a stage is about three people.
Yeah, that's true, too. They're always blacked out. You don't see them.
That's the beauty of it. I play to nobody except those three people, if they're lucky.
I gotta tell you.
The problem comes when you do something that's supposed to get a laugh and there's just, you hear a pin drop.
Now we're picking on Jenny again.
So now it's back to Jenny's failures. We need to do a whole segment that we'll just call Jenny's Failures with Moira Sauer.
This is part one.
But there is that. That's why I will never do stand-up comedy. I will never. I've been asked a couple times in my life, and I've also been asked, what's your, like, you know, what's something that's a fear? What's one of your greatest fears? And I would say, without hesitation, stand-up. Not in a million years would you ever catch me doing stand-up.
You know, because of the prevalent...
I don't think there's anything harder.
Because of the prevalent misogyny in stand-up, It's hard. That's a hard thing.
It can be.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. You know? My biggest fear is to walk out and do any play, which means one day I have to do it. Because that's a fear of mine. Remembering lines. If I fuck up on stage now, I wrote it, I'll just come up with something else. you know, Taming of the Shrew, where I'm like, I don't know, the bitch is a bitch. He's not part of the script.
Right? I kind of feel like
Jenny,
that would be
don't knock
great.
It, at least you know that much, right?
Yeah. That's all I
know. You understand the plot, so you could fake
you
it.
You understand what a shrew is. You're a thousand steps ahead of the game.
Well, that's it. So because it is a fear, I know I have to do it one day. Yeah. One day.
You know what? I have to say, like, I can go my whole life without being in a play. I've been in two plays, and it was not good.
So you've
good.
Already failed. You it haven't gone your whole life without being in a play.
No. Hey, Moira,
according
we're picking
to,
on Jenny.
To you
we're picking
to the
on
audience.
Jenny.
Oh, okay. Right.
I've been in plays. I was in plays in high school.
That was it. It was high school.
And we did well. I mean, we performed at the Guild because we didn't have... It was either that or
a
nothing.
State
yeah. So the
gymnasium or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote a play. We performed. They made us perform it for the school. That was.
Oh
that,
my gosh.
And that was I'm like, okay, let's not do that again. Yeah.
You know.
But working with people who do it, and I was just like, yeah, I don't.
Can you find a more critical audience than an audience of your teenage peers?
Yeah, no, that's why I dropped the.
So.
That's why I dropped an F-bomb,
no,
and I was a hero.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yes. I looked at all
hey,
the teachers
you guys
and went,
hear something? Do you want to hear a high school theater story?
Yes.
Yeah.
My first kiss in my life in a play on stage.
I'm going to need you to talk a bit slower.
You want to know what to say
was? I think about
was.
It now, and I just think, wow, that's kind of sad. It's a little bit sad. A little bit sad.
I kind of think it's
but, you know,
sort
kind
of
worthy
too,
of retelling,
though.
Maybe. You know how I'd gone a lot of years with no kiss, and then there I am playing this role of a psycho ex-wife.
Nice.
With curlers in her hair.
Excellent.
And the lead guy, of course, was Yann Brierley, the hottest boy in school, and
course.
A whole year older.
Oh yes.
He was in grade 12.
Nice.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You do realize that means I was in grade 11 and had never been kissed.
Well, that's okay. I was in the band.
The only thing that the only thing that kissed Jenny at that point was her trumpet.
Mine was the oboe.
That's why I'm so damn good at playing it.
We're going to circle back to the oboe. Please continue that story, though.
And Yann Brierley and I had to have this scene. He ends up pushing me down a staircase and killing me in the play, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. But we had this scene, and it had to get really hot and heavy, and I remember the dramatizer.
Does he kiss you when you're dead?
No. That was before the death part.
Okay, because I was
part,
like,
but,
that's some dark shit.
That would be, that's like a whole other can of worms.
That's more
for
of a college
to be working. But she left us. I remember she left us alone in the theater for, it felt like forever, but I'm sure it was maybe 5-10 minutes. And she just said, you guys need to get to know each other.
Wow.
Wow. Why did I not? I was in drama.
So walk us through this first kiss, though. So the first kiss happened in rehearsal.
In rehearsal.
Okay.
But we left it until right before the show was going to open. So we'd been rehearsing, and what would happen is come up to the kiss, and we'd go, okay, this is the kissy part, kiss, and then we'd go on, right? And
yes.
Skip over it.
Yeah.
And then finally the day came when Val Chatterton, Ms. Chatterton,
yes.
Was like, okay, you guys, you do know you can't just go and this is the kissy part and then continue on with the scene. You have to actually kiss. And I was a tomboy and trying really hard to be super cool and chill about it because I didn't want anyone to know that I had never actually kissed a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I also didn't want to ruin my tough gal exterior. I had a reputation to uphold as well. To uphold. And so I was cool as a cucumber, man. I was just like, yeah, okay, cool. Let's kiss.
Let's do this.
I was like that. It was so, yeah, I was like that. It was so, it's so ridiculous. And then, but this is the best part. The best part is, I think we did the show for maybe four nights.
Okay.
And so then after we had the final rehearsal where we finally did the kiss, and then there was like a dress rehearsal, a preview, and then a few shows. So say, let's say six performances with a kiss.
Right.
And each night, that kiss, let me tell you, it got extended. We might have added a bit more time to the running of the play every evening.
Now, did this...
We might have done that.
Did this continue after the play?
No. Are you kidding?
She's a professional.
Dan Brierley. He was like the star rugby player.
Oh.
There was nothing.
Are you completely sure this wasn't his first kiss?
He was Jan Brierley.
It doesn't matter.
Star rugby player.
It doesn't. You don't know.
We have a friend.
So you're saying rugby players kiss each other.
I think he'd had several girlfriends. You know what?
All through high school, we had a friend named Carolyn, who I just assumed was all up and down the dating scene. And in our 40s, Carolyn's like, "What are you talking about? It was a lonely, painful existence." And I was just like, "Say it ain't so." I had no idea.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't actually know.
No, you can't. But it does make me want to go and Google him. I'm curious.
Right?
I like where this is going. Brother.
I want to Google him.
I want to Google him.
We should call him.
What do we mean by the term Google? Do we all mean the same thing here?
Probably not.
Yeah. Because
no, probably not.
I'm doing a tickling motion with my fingers right now, and that's Googling for me. I would like to Google
Dan.
Now.
Oh my god.
Google
Dan,
that guy.
Well, get out of the gutter.
I will not. Oh my goodness. I am proud of my stance in the gutter.
That was a little, I feel like in that way, it was hard not to embrace theater a bit more. I was sort of doomed to end up doing more theater because it had given me a bit of a kick in the pants as far as moving along in life a bit, you know?
That's awesome.
I don't want to tell stories out of school here, but I kind of feel like a first kiss with somebody that you thought was really cool and really attractive that didn't end in tears somewhere down the road, pretty great.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think the first person I kissed ended badly. you know? Like, it ended...
Well, because you're so young, and you don't, you know, there's lots of feelings.
Oh, God.
And physical, mental, you know, spiritual. It's all mixed in there, and who knows what's going on, really. None of us do.
Straight up. And when I was in high school, if you could manage to stay together for 3 months...
Right.
You were an old couple.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I was getting my heart broken every 2 weeks, basically, and then having it reinvigorated a week later.
Right.
So
Somebody else walks by. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The truth is, though, while that was, I would agree with you that it was a pretty great experience, and I wouldn't say there was any negativity tacked to it. I didn't get to experience many broken hearts for real until much later in life. And then it was a full-on tsunami.
Right.
Mm. I didn't have any practice.
Yeah.
I didn't have any practice with that stuff. And so then when it came time to be real in this world of ours, whew, there were some big crashes, you guys.
Well, absolutely.
But those are
deep crashes. Whoa.
That's the beauty of life, though. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. And I know I sound like some kind of bad poster you used to see in your school guidance counselor's office. But I mean, like, we are only ever hurt and saddened in an equal and opposite way to the joy and love we felt. You know, when we lose somebody, whether it be through a relationship or through their passing, our grief in that loss is a direct reflection of the joy that we had previously felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and I will take feeling broken to have gotten to feel that good before.
Yes.
Because there are people that go their entire lives and they never get to experience that kind of grief and that depth of grief because they never got to experience the highs and that depth of love.
Right.
You know, and I think that's beautiful. That is a beautiful kind of sadness. You know, that's what leads to like the writing of sonnets. And, you know, I mean, like,
Yes. That's
where all of that comes from. The best songs, the best plays, the best pieces of art are all based around, oh my God, just happened to me? I can't possibly survive this. And the beauty of life is that we do. That's the Dan Bushnell guidance counseling moment. That's how I roll.
I will say, listen, Dan, you've been a total buoy for me in some pretty low points.
Well, it's because I'm bad enough to float.
Dan Bushnell philosophy is great.
It's because I float well. It's the extra poundage. The stress eating makes me buoyant.
If you know? Feel like you're drowning, grab onto Dan.
That's the thing. If we are ever on a boat that goes down, you know that I'm an emergency flotation device. You know, it's one of my talents.
She's not wrong. You pull a lot of people out of the mire.
Yeah, you do.
You know why I pull them out of the mire?
For a guy who lives in the gutter.
I would say I pull people out of the mire because I'm already down there.
You push them out.
When you show up, I'm like, stop.
My space.
Yeah, stop taking my space. Don't come in here cutting my grass. This is where I live. And then I push you up out of it because you're frankly cramping my style.
Right. Thanks for letting me in.
Yeah. Emotional, painful sadness. That's my go-to. I think that's where the best art comes from. I really do.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you had fun and maybe even learned something. The Horse is brought to you by Molotov and Brick Tattoos and J.L. Hamilton Productions. Until next time, remember to be kind to yourself and to others.
This was a Brain Freeze podcast.